Let's this morning enter into God's presence with thankfulness in our hearts that we have freedom to worship Him, that we have the price paid for us, that we can enter into His presence and the promise that we have through Christ. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I don't know if we have this slide, but I had this slide for Psalm 145. I wanted to start with a scripture reading with you all this morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. Wow, I see lots of red, white, and blue around the congregation today. That's awesome. Patriotic Memorial Day weekend. We've got a great patriotic song by the choir later on, and that we're going to enjoy that at the end of this service. But we are so glad to see each one of you. If you are a guest with us today, we do have a gift for you. We have this travel mug, and we'd love to give that to you at the end of the service out in the lobby. Please fill out one of these registration cards, and we'll exchange that at the end of the service. If you're watching via live stream, Good morning and welcome. We pray this is going to be a great, safe place for you to explore the Christian faith and grow in your relationship with God. Beautiful Memorial Weekend. I don't know if you saw the Warriors game last night, but boy, was that something else. Tied up 3-3, both the Eastern and the Western conferences. This is basketball talk, guys, so this is inside. Basketball talk. Both conferences are tied up 3-3. Deciding games is one tonight and one tomorrow night. You can't get any more exciting than that if you're a basketball fan, and we're thrilled. I'm thrilled as a fan just to see that, but good to see all you guys and your smiling faces. So we're going to turn on this sunny morning and greet one another. All right, folks, I love all the visiting and the sharing that's going on, but we do have a worship service to get back to, so we're going to take a seat and gather. I don't remember seeing quite as much red, white, and blue, I guess until July 1st when we'll see it again, but it is wonderful to see so many patriots out there. And just FYI, how many people here have served in the military sometime in your life? Wow, quite a few. That's awesome. God bless you, and thank you for your service. Today, we are to celebrate Memorial Day, which is tomorrow, which isn't just to celebrate our veterans. It's to celebrate those men and women serving in our armed forces who gave their lives, who made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today in this country. And we found a video we thought was appropriate. We wanted to show you that video, so please give your attention to the screen. Thank you. we do honor those men and women who gave their lives for our great nation. Want to be aware of a few announcements. First of all, 2 weeks ago we had some Mother's Day photos taken, and the photos are here. They're on the back table there behind you to your right. You can pick them up right after the service. Betty Ann, our children's director, wanted to give out a big thank you because three of you from last week spoke to her or contacted her, volunteered to serve in the kids ministry, and she is grateful for that. She wanted me to know there's still some available places if you want to serve one time a month. That's all that she's asking, especially during the summer months, just to offer one time a month one of the services. So you can serve down there with the kids ministry in one of the services and come up and worship, or you can worship first and then go serve in the kids ministry. So that is available to you, and there's a sign up in the bulletin, and there's also Betty Ann's contact information there. Thanks also on behalf of the Barnabas Homeless Ministry, which, by the way, this week received an award, an actual gift check from Brookhaven School. They had this Interact Club there, and they raise money all during the year, and then they choose charities to give it to, and one of the charities was the Barnabas Ministry of our church. So we received $250 this week from them. And on behalf of them, they want to thank you for that gently used clothing that many of you brought in for the homeless ministry. I just looked over this morning, and the barrel's pretty full. So thank you for that. If you still have some clothes and you want to bring them by, please do, especially socks. They really need socks. There's a new class coming in June. It's called The Creative Call. It's starting June 12th, which is a Tuesday night. It's going to be in there. It's for all those people who are creative in their talent pool. We serve a creative God made in His image, and it is a book study to help you discover the creativity that God has put into you. It's co-ed. It's men and women. Tuesday night starting June 12th. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. You can sign up for that. Mount Gilead Christian Camp is having a welcome day for families. It's coming a week from today, so it'll be next Sunday, June 3rd, in the afternoon. I think it's from 1 to 7 p.m. There's going to be a barbecue, a zip line, a climbing wall, swimming. I think I'm going to go just from hearing all that. BMX bikes, hiking, so much more. You're welcome to bring your friends. There's a $10 cost and $5 for the kids for the barbecue. So if you want to sign up for that, next week there is a sheet there in the lobby area. Also, Mount Gilead is having summer camps, and we are offering some scholarships for kids if they want to go. You can sign up for that as well. Hey, men's breakfast. I know we're a little far out from there. It's 4 weeks away, but June 23rd, we got a specially invited guest. And it's Saturday, June 23rd. Men, I don't have my phone with me, but I was going to say take out your phones and go to your calendars and put June 23rd, Saturday at 8 a.m. Be right here for the next men's breakfast. That's it on the announcements. Let's stand now and let's worship our great God.
He will never fail. He is Almighty God, greater than all we seek, greater than all we ask. He has done great things, lifted up, defeated the grave, raised to life. Thank you. is with us. God is on our side. He will make a way. Far above all we know, far above all we hope, He has done great things. Lifted up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. God is with us. He will go before. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. God is for us. He has open arms. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. Lifted up, defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. Lifted up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. To your side, so heaven is real, death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy, none beside Thee, God Almighty, great I am. I want to be near, near to Your heart, loving the world, hating the dark. Want to see dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy, none beside Thee, God Almighty, great I am. It's the great I am. Great I am. The mountains shake before Him. The demons run and flee at the mention of the name King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Great I am. Great I am. demons run and flee at the mention of the name King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Great I am, great I am, great I am, great I am, great I am. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, great I am. He's a great I am, great I am, he's a great I am.
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. We're going to continue our worship of our great I am. Isn't that an amazing thought that God is the great I am? He's not the great I was. You know, he's not just something, someone that existed in the past. He exists eternally in the present. And we're going to ask Eve Joseph now to come and give us our communion meditation. And that those of you who are preparing, please come up and prepare. Thank you.
Good morning. Wonderful song. It's one of my favorite titles for the Lord. Appropriate. Okay, this is Memorial Weekend. Tomorrow as a nation, we will honor those who have lost their lives while serving in the armed forces for this great country. We are thankful for each one of them for this very most honorable sacrifice. And I think it's so appropriate as we come together this morning during communion that we use this time to honor and give thanks to our Lord for his sacrifice. In Philippians 2, 5 through 7, Paul tells us to have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself of his glory by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus is equally God, but chose to come as a servant. For me, I'm amazed every time I think about how our Creator, God, became a creation for me and for you. It's almost too much to even imagine. In Mark 9:35, Jesus said to the 12, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Also in Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We are encouraged as followers of Christ to put others' needs ahead of our own and to serve just like Jesus did. We live in a broken and hurting world. I think we've heard many times in the last few years about how 3% in Sonoma County is churched. 3%. That's a huge amount of people who are lost and hurting, and some of them don't even realize it, but a lot of them do. We have a world out there that is desperate for Jesus and for his righteousness and for his love. And he has given us the perfect model for us to be, to how to reach this world by giving of ourselves. I think that means that it's whether it's your time, that's the huge thing is time. Mike and I have talked before about how a lot of the hurt in this world is because there's a lack of relationship. And first and foremost, our God came to earth for a relationship with us. And he modeled how to do that and to be in a relationship with people, families, friends, everywhere you go. We are seeing a breakdown of relationship in this world. And I think when you think about serving, that is where you can go just automatically, is go out into the community. It can be across the street. It can be serving here. It can be going to your neighbor's house and, you know, raking their leaves, pulling their weeds, giving them a ride. It's so easy if you think about it, but it takes sacrifice. It takes your time. And so I think we need to remember that our Lord never complained about how inconvenient his mission might be. He was never too busy to do the Father's will. Creator God became a man to show us how to live by giving everything at immeasurable cost, priceless. And in Hebrews 12, we are told that he did it with joy. So it's not even just reaching out, but, and I think most people that serve realize that the more you serve, the more joy you have, the more joyful it is to give. So as we celebrate and appreciate those who have served and given their all for this country, I hope that each of us will every day celebrate and thank God for his priceless sacrifice. And remember that, like him, we are to serve others and not look to be served. May we seek to be Jesus' hands and feet in what we do, his eyes that look out and see people that are hurting, and his words that speak of love, hope, and forgiveness, and joy. We can come alongside those who are struggling and give our time. And that's what Jesus did and would expect us to do today. I want to remember that this little church on the corner fits so perfectly with Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Perfect opportunity. The first place to do it is to serve. Just like those who are in the armed forces who gave everything. Just like our Lord gave everything. Everything. God in the flesh. Let's pray. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your gift is for each one of us. It is free for us. It was cost everything for you. But we thank you and we praise you for showing us how to do it, and to do it with love and joy. And I just pray that each one of us today would remember, as we remember those who have fallen on the battlefield, that there's a huge battle out here, but you already won the war. We just need to let you be the general and in our lives. And so I just thank you and praise you for who you are, for what you've done, and what you continue to do in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
I hope all of you were able to get a bulletin when you came in today. There's a message outline on the front of it, and we're going to be referencing that in just a few moments. Right now is our time to worship God through our tithes and our offerings. I remember the first time I went to an evangelical, Bible-believing, life-giving church. I was a young adult, and the pastor said, you know what we ought to do with our lives? We ought to be Matthew 6:33 in it. And I thought, okay, I don't know what that says, but we're supposed to be doing that. So I looked it up, and it said, of course, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And I thought about all these things. What is he talking about? Jesus is talking about clothing on your back, food in your stomach, drink. He says, don't be worrying about all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. He'll provide them for us, but you keep your focus on seeking first the kingdom of God. And that's what we're to do with our lives, and giving our tithes and offerings is a way to do that, to invest in God's kingdom and the works that he is doing around the world through the ministries here at Sebastopol Christian Church. In case, because there's, I want to remind you too, once a month, there's three different ways you can give. Of course, as the offering trays come by, you can give either cash or check like you normally would. But there's another way that you give that's possible, and that's mobile giving. And we have an app called Push Pay, and there's a way to access that just on the back side of your bulletin. It has, in the red letters here, it has a way to do mobile giving through Push Pay. You start with sending a text, and that's all you have to do, and the rest is just intuitive, and you go forward from there to give a one-time gift. So hope you'll access that if you are willing to do that this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that in our lives we would be seeking first you and your kingdom. Lord, it's the only thing that's going to last. It's the only thing that's going to last forever. And only what's done for you is going to last. So, Lord, as we become better servants and better leaders, I pray, Father, we will be the kind of people that receive from you tremendous blessings, and then we pass those blessings on to others. Help us to do that ministry of giving and receiving every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Without us, Jesus, you brought heaven down. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Thank you. could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the voice of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory.
Thank you, John Waltz and the worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. Did you notice that John's a lefty? I mean, I was impressed when I saw that, because lefties always notice other lefties. Every time I see somebody signing a document, like an official, I always say, oh, that guy's a lefty, if there's a lefty. And then, well, it doesn't mean they've got great character, it just means they're left-handed. So, anyway, we are in our second week of a new series that we started. So we started last Sunday a brand new series called Bodybuilding. We have a graphic for that, not the jokey one that I showed you last week, but we've got a graphic for bodybuilding, about being in a fitness center or in a gymnasium. The idea that if we want to build up our body, we're going to have to make some effort. We're going to have to do some work. And if we're going to build up the body of Christ and make it a strong church full of strong individual Christ followers, each of us has to do our work as well, our spiritual work, to be in the disciplines of prayer and the ministry of the word and being connected here every Sunday in the corporate worship, to be connected in a life group during the week with a smaller group of God's people where you do life together and you pray for each other and you study God's word. Serving on a ministry team somewhere where you're contributing to the growth of the body as each one of you does his or her work. So we talked about bodybuilding, and then last week we had our key verse. And the key verse in 1 Corinthians is verse 10. I think there's a graphic for the, hey, we got our graphic up there. So there it is, key verse to 1 Corinthians, where I think it unlocks the entire letter for us. In verse 10. So Paul doesn't wait until later on in the letter. He starts out the letter by saying, here's the real reason I'm writing to you. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there may be no divisions among you. So what does that mean, to have no divisions among you? It says that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. That always reminds me of joke. It was told by a Jewish person, so it's not as offensive if you know who it came from. But this Jewish man was talking to me, and he says, you know, wherever you have two Jews, you have three opinions. So, and in talking, you could say the same thing about certain churches, where the last thing you could say about certain churches is that they are united. They are pulling oars together in the same direction toward God's purposes for the church. We want to be united because there is a great power in unity. There is a great power where God's Spirit moves in an even greater way when God's people are, there are no divisions. We're all working together. We're all united in our mind and thought and purposes. We're agreeing with each other. These are the purposes that God has made us to do here in this church. And so we focused on the power of unity last week. Today, I want to talk about the foolishness of God, because the so-called foolishness of God is so much wiser than anything mankind can come up with. Any kind of human wisdom, man's wisdom, God's way is so much better and higher than our way. And I hope you would agree with that. So before we get into the message, let me go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so dependent on you. Lord, without you and your revelation, we would be lost. We would be trying to come up with our own understanding of who you are and what you're like. And we would not see your love and your holiness and your justice. But thank you for the revelation that we have through your son, Jesus. Thank you for the revelation that we have through the writings of the apostles and the prophets. And that we can read them and we can learn about you and learn about what you want for our lives through the written revelation of your word. So, Lord, I pray that your word will speak to us, that your Holy Spirit will activate your word in our hearts. And, Lord, let us just tune in. Let us focus this morning so that we can listen, we can learn, we can be doers of the word. We can be put right into practice immediately that which you're calling us to do. So, Lord, help our hearts to be open to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I've read about some people who have made predictions. You know, speaking of man's so-called wisdom and how smart some men and women think they are, I've read some lists of people. They made predictions about certain products or people, and these predictions turned out to be completely wrong. For example, in 1962, here was the quote, "We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out." That was spoken by the Decca Recording Company about a band called the Beatles. 1962. 1943, Thomas Watson, the chairman of IBM. IBM of all companies, and he was the chairman. 1943, he says, "I think there is a world market for maybe five computers." I think I have five in my house. Okay, 1903, here's another a bank president. 1903, he says, "The horse is here to stay, but the automobile is only a novelty. It's just a fad." It was the president of a banking company in Detroit contemplating whether or not they should give Henry Ford a loan to invest in the Ford Motor Company. And then finally, 1946, Daryl Zanuck, who was a movie producer, he said, "Television won't last. Television won't last because people will soon get tired of staring at a plywood box every night." Yeah, I wish that were true. So wrong. So many human ideas and predictions that turned out to be wrong. Now, you and I can be wrong on a number of things that in the end don't really matter a whole lot, like predicting the weather. I mean, the weather person has the safest job in the world. They can be wrong at least half the time and still keep their job, right? Predicting the weather or saying one team is going to beat another team. I did admire the chutzpah of Draymond Green as he predicted that this Game 7 would be taking place in Houston. And as the game started about maybe halfway through the first quarter and the second quarter, I said, "Draymond, your prediction isn't looking too good." But boy, did the Golden State Warriors come through. So saying one team is going to beat another team in a game or what the next fashion trend is going to be. I mean, is it going to be stripes? Is it going to be solids? Is it going to be polka dots? I don't even know if that's the terminology. But predicting the next fashion trend, does it matter really if you're right or wrong, or the next horse race, or even who the next nominee is going to be in the next election? I mean, how much difference does it actually make? Now, all these ways you can be wrong, there are some things in life that you have to get right. Like answering this question. You have to get this question right. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ, who is called the Messiah? Some call him Savior. Who is he? Because if you get that question wrong, your eternal destiny is in the balance. So the Apostle Paul, in this 1 Corinthians letter, he's writing to these first century Christ followers in Greece, in the biggest city in Greece, in Corinth, and Paul is trying to communicate the main idea of the Christian faith. He's saying that the main idea of the faith is wrapped up in one single event that happened on one day in history in the land of Israel. Now, it's a little bit easier to be a church member in Corinth in the first century because you can say, okay, Paul, so you're saying that the whole world changed because of this event that happened to one man on a hill outside of Jerusalem in Palestine. How many years ago was it? It was about 30 years ago, 25 years ago. Oh, okay. And that one event changed everything? It changed the course of history? And Paul's saying, yes, it did. Because that one event launched a rescue operation for mankind. God sent Jesus to be the rescuer. And God played out the rescue operation in a way that is so countercultural to the way any first century Jew or Greek or Gentile would have predicted it. What we're going to see today at the last part of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, and by the way, I said to you guys, you could be reading along, you could be reading ahead, you could even be knowing what I'm going to talk about. Remember I said I'd fall off my chair in the office during the week if any of you actually emailed me and said, hey Jim, I'm reading ahead and this is what I'm discovering and I have a question for you or something. I have to give props to Sue Beckstead over there because Sue actually wrote me an email and she's going to ask me if I actually fell off my chair or not. But I did laugh and smile. I did an LOL. It was awesome. So thank you, Sue, for writing to me and making that dream come true in this pastor's life. So God played out this rescue operation through Jesus. It was such a countercultural way to any of the way the Jews or Greeks would have predicted it. We're going to see the contrast today between God's wisdom and the human wisdom of this world. The true gospel is the message that is centered on one event in history, what we call the cross. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. In the NIV, it says, to those who are perishing. To those headed to destruction, the message of the cross is foolish. But we who are being saved, we know that it is very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligence. Paul's claim here is that there are basically only two kinds of people in this world, in all the human race. Those who are in the process of perishing and those who are in the process of being saved. And you know, there's only one way to tell them apart. It's not by race, it's not by gender, it's not by economic status. The only way to tell these two categories of people apart is simple. It's by the way in which they respond to the gospel message. Paul writes from Isaiah, or Paul quotes from this Old Testament prophet, Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 14, in which he says, because of this, God is doing the talking here, because of this, I will do wonders among these hypocrites. I will show that human wisdom is foolish and even the most brilliant people lack understanding. See, Paul, apparently Paul quoting from God's prophet, and the prophet is one who speaks for God, Paul is saying that God doesn't seem to care too much about human wisdom that is human wisdom apart from revelation from God. He is predicting the ultimate demise. Paul is saying that all this wisdom of the sages, all the legal experts, the so-called gurus and shamans and self-help experts in this world, it's all going to come to nothing. They will all one day come to nothing. Because why? Ultimately, their ideas are empty without Jesus Christ, without his power to transform lives and hearts. Human wisdom alone cannot lead you into a right relationship with our holy God. So Paul continues, and he goes on, and he says, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. So people in their fallen worldly wisdom, they were rejecting the God of the Bible. And so God, in the midst of humanity's rebellion, where they rejected his son Jesus, they even put him to death on a cross, God decided in his plan he was going to outsmart everybody. He was going to develop a subversive plan to affect our salvation. And that plan would look foolish to most people. I mean, how can a man who died a terrible death in Palestine years ago, condemned as a criminal, how can the death of that one man result in salvation for all mankind? At first glance, the cross of Jesus looks more like a defeat than a victory. I mean, Jesus was executed and left for dead, but God orchestrated it so the whole plan ended up being now called by Paul, now this message of the cross is called the wisdom of God. The prophet Isaiah talks about God and his ways and how God's ways are different than our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. Look what he says in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is saying his way is higher, it is superior. From a human perspective, the message of the cross doesn't look like the wisdom of God. In fact, Paul's now going to quote from the human perspective. When we go to verse 22, he says, it is foolish. I mean, I asked the question in the header of this slide. I said, who's the foolish one here? Right? The Jews, to them, it is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it's foolish to the Greeks or to the Gentiles who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense, right? Now you can imagine Paul going into Corinth, walking into the synagogue there on the first Sabbath day on a Saturday, and he starts talking about Jesus being the Messiah, being the Savior. And then he talks about the cross and how Jesus died for our sins on the cross. And you can imagine the Jewish audience listening to him. You're saying that Messiah has come. Yes, I am. You're saying that this Messiah's name is Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, I am. And what happened to him? He was ultimately put to death on a cross. And most of the Jews probably threw their hands up at that moment and said, then I'm automatically out. I'm out, because how could I believe in a Messiah that died a terrible execution, criminal's death on a cross? Why would I want to believe and follow a person like that? So what is Christ crucified to the Jews? Why is this idea so offensive to Jewish people? Paul says the cross was a, quote, stumbling block to the Jews. Let me try and explain. Early in the first, even in the first century, the Jews were looking forward to the arrival of their Messiah. They were praying for the coming of God's Messiah, his anointed one, his deliverer. For 100 years, the Jewish people had been occupied by Roman armies, and their nation of Israel or Palestine had been subject to the Roman Empire. Most Jews longed for Messiah to come. They had an expectation that he would be a political, military, triumphant Messiah. They believed that their Messiah or deliverer, that he would come and he would rule the world forever. They believed that Messiah would never die. They certainly were not expecting a Messiah that would be condemned by the Jewish High Council and handed over to the Roman governor with a recommendation to execute him, rejected by the leaders of his own people. Many Jews in the Roman world would have listened to Paul's preaching until that part when he said Jesus was crucified and died, and that's all they heard after that. The Jews viewed Jesus' crucifixion as proof, by the way, There is a passage in the Old Testament that says anybody who hangs on a tree is cursed by God. And so the Jews would have seen Jesus as hanging on a cross or a tree as being part of someone who is cursed. Look what it says in Deuteronomy. If someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and then hanged on a tree, the body must never remain on the tree overnight. That, by the way, that's why the Jewish leaders went to Pontius Pilate and said, hey, can you break the legs of these criminals? Because we can't have them still alive at nighttime. We have to have them dead, and then we have to take them down from the cross because this is our Jewish law. Isn't it interesting that of all the laws the Jewish leaders broke during the trial and the sham of how they treated Jesus with no justice at all and no fairness at all, how they would come back to the law now and say, Pontius Pilate, governor, we need to keep the Jewish law here. We need to get these dead men down off the cross before nightfall, right? So they said that, but they said, the body must never remain on a tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day. For anyone hanging on a tree is cursed of God. Wow. Anyone hanging on a tree is cursed of God. That's how the Old Testament, that's how the law looked at it. So you could imagine a Jewish person with that background hearing about Jesus dying on a cross and saying, how can that be God's Messiah? They didn't see, here's what they didn't see. They didn't see that Jesus was coming as the suffering servant. They didn't see that he wasn't dying for his own sins, he was dying for the sins of all the people. That Jesus was taking the punishment for them. Even as their own prophet Isaiah predicted in Isaiah chapter 53, he said, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. They conveniently forgot that part of the scripture. Jesus didn't fit into the Jewish dreams of political independence and deliverance, but honestly, think about it. And here's a thought that I just had. What good would it have ultimately done the Jewish people if they got their political freedom from Rome through a Messiah like of their choosing, the kind that they wanted? What good would have done them? It got their independence from Rome, yes, but even after that military victory, it would still have left them spiritually dead in their sins and separated from God. It would have been a short-term win, perhaps, but certainly not in the long run. How much more important it was for Jesus to give his life on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for all of our sins, so that no matter what government was here, we know that we are